This is my mic?
That's the one.
Yo.
You are listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to this episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the Tim Kaine to my Mike Pence, my dear friend Andy.
Hey there.
Andy, this is our eve of the election spectacular.
Oh, man. It's terrifying.
Mm-hmm. So we go deep on some policy issues. We talk a lot about, you know,
how pro-Trump we are. Surprisingly, right. You guys wouldn't have guessed it.
Yeah. Well, I am one of those truly undecided voters. And you know, I've got my ballot. I'm ready to put it in a box tomorrow. And this really helped me just, you know, figure out where I stand.
This episode in particular is extremely political.
No, I'm just hoping that the internet exists by the time the show is ready to go up at the mm-hmm. end of the week. So, in all seriousness, I hope everyone has voted. I hope you did vote, took your place in our democracy, and I hope we're in for a bland 4 years of right-wing obstruction. That's the best-case scenario.
Yep.
But a better-case scenario, Andy, was our show this evening. We had, from the Ween cover band Poop Ship, Aaron was joining us tonight. And this was, I think our listeners are really going to like this. This is kind of a deep dive into fandom, as far as I'm concerned. I did not know very much about Ween prior to this week, other than I had a vague distrust. And so we got to talk at length about Aaron's connection to this particular band. Mm-hmm. And your connection, actually.
And my deep love for Ween.
Yeah. This is definitely one of your big touchstone bands that you've talked about in the course of this show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I love Ween. I've listened to him for a long time, and I've never seen him live, though. That's one of those bands. I need to see Ween. But then they broke up. They don't play anymore, so I guess I missed the boat. I have to wait till the next time they get back together.
Well, if you are one of those people like Andy who happened to miss the boat on a live Ween experience, you should check out Poop Ship, Aaron's band. They're playing on November 23rd. That's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Or is it the 27th?
It's the 23rd this year.
Never mind.
Yep, Wednesday the 23rd. They're playing a free show at the Eagle Lodge? Is that what the name of the bar? The Eagle Tavern?
Yes.
Eagle Tavern in Southeast Portland.
On 92nd and Foster.
Yeah. I don't know where a lot of our listeners live in Portland, but that's a part of town that some people don't get to, and I think they should if you want to see some awesome Ween
their
cover
annual
action.
Brownout. It's going to be awesome.
Brownout. It's a free show. Poop Ship is playing at 9 p.m. sharp. So would definitely, I think after listening to Aaron talk so passionately about this band, you'll all want to come check that out. We want to thank you for tuning into this episode. If you have joined us via iTunes, hopefully you can go back and do so again in the future. And maybe leave us a comment or a rating. We appreciate it. And maybe tell a friend. Let someone else know how they might while away a few hours in musical reverie.
And also, while we're on the subject of things.
Of anything.
Of anything in the world.
Yeah.
We have another live show coming up.
Oh, that's great. That's a good call, Andy. We're on December 2nd, the second Hot Garbage Live. We've got Montgomery Word is joining us. The Roddies will be playing a set, as well as Hair Puller. Yeah. So, another sick lineup. It's at Kelly's Olympian on December 2nd. That's probably going to be a $5 show,
yep,
but you'll
$5,
see.
$5, 9 o'clock. Come see us. Come hang out with us and see our faces in person.
Yeah. See if you can guess who is who. And if you can find Nate, is like the Where's Waldo of Hot Garbage.
Yeah.
Our silent partner, Nate, who is with us making the sound happen. If you can spot him, we will get you on the list and you'll get in for free. You get one guess.
One guess, but you can't know him.
And if I'm being perfectly honest, once one person has guessed, no one else is eligible for that prize.
Game over.
Yeah. I basically have $5 in my pocket. Someone's getting it, but they got to pluck Ned out of the crowd.
Yeah.
So we hope you like this episode. We hope you like it enough to come hang out with us and have some fun on
and
December
come and fuck
2nd.
With us.
Enjoy literally. Aaron of Poop Ship and this episode of Hot Garbage.
Yes, that was the highlight of that show. Except the fuck the police with all the white people holding up their cell phones. And, just like, this is so weird.
But man, I used to love Ice Cube. He was the scariest, most hardcore rapper.
I liked West Side Connection more than I liked.
We've talked about this so many times on the show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just making sure everybody knows.
I really, really liked The Predator. It was so good.
Okay, so I want to ask about Ween, because I'll tell you a little backstory. My history with Ween is that, you know, on Spotify, when you make playlists and stuff, it will give you recommendations under the browse. And for like the last 2 years, it's been pushing Ween on me in various forms.
What Ween is it pushing on you?
But various. I mean, there's a lot of different Ween, but like White Pepper comes up a lot. That's in regardless of what I've been listening to, it seems to pop up. And I don't know much about Ween. For whatever reason, in my mind, I was always resistant to listening to them. So every time I saw them, I was like, why does it keep thinking that I would enjoy this? And in so many different kinds of categories. And then I realized that they play just like this crazy array of everything.
Was it the fans liking them too much is what kept you away from
No, I don't even know what it was. It wasn't. It was based on almost nothing. It might have even been just the name that I've known since I was a kid. And maybe it was people that would tell me to listen to them that I didn't trust their taste in anything. But when I look back, it was just, it's a wide variety of people. And having listened to it a little bit, trying to gain some knowledge, they're kind of all over the place. So tell me what I need to know about Ween to really appreciate them. Both of you guys are the experts. Aaron, make the case. Tell me what's up.
What's up with Ween, Aaron?
What do you need to know about Ween?
What's the right approach to this kind of band?
I'd have to get to know you better because White Pepper might be the key to it. I certainly had an incredibly emotive experience the first time I heard White Pepper. The first song is
Ice Castles? Is that the first song?
The first song is exactly where I'm at.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I'm actually quoted in the Willamette Week. I got interviewed as a big Ween fan by their editor and in the
so you're not only in the cover band, but you're a professional Ween fan now.
I'm published anyway, yeah. but I admit to crying when they played that song the third night of their reunion shows this past February, but that song makes me cry every time.
So I'm interested in that I want to find out like the source of your fandom, because you hear about people that could become huge Fish fans or the Grateful Dead or even fucking Dave Matthews Band, and people follow these around the country. But I'm interested, and Ween's an unknown band, but that's kind of a niche. It seems like a very specific band to kind of lock into. When did you first hear them?
Oh God, I it was a couple of things. There was this magazine back in the mic a little bit. There was a magazine back in the 90s. It was called Huh? With a question mark, and you got a CD with it every month.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
Oh, man, you should love those magazines when you get the sampler.
Right, and there was a Ween song, Freedom of 76, on one of those samplers, and right about the same time the It's Pat movie came out. One of the most awful Saturday Night
Who could forget live. That spring?
But Dean and Gene are in it for a solid 16, 17 minutes, which is... It's on YouTube. You can watch just the Gene and Dean parts, which are completely fantastic. But we'd watch that movie and then go to the record store and see Chocolate and Cheese and the Underboob and the...
The cover of that album has just
that's
like classic
too. Underboob. That's, that's always been seared into my memory.
So that's my favorite album too. For me personally, though, my first Ween, I heard Pure Guava because I had a friend who had a cool older sister. Right, so we'd go over there and listen to records or CDs, and he played me that song Reggae Junkie Jew, and it was fucking hilarious to me. It was the funniest thing I'd ever heard in my life. And he played me Poop Ship, and he played me Pumping for the Man, and it was just like fast, crazy punk rock with like weird vocals, and we just kind of, I was just like, man, that's a great band, I love that band. And then from that point on, every time I saw anything Ween at a record store, like a used CD, I'd grab it, and it was always off the wall. I kind of put them in the same world as Frank Zappa, where it's just like, it's all over the place. And there's going to be something in there that you're going to like. For you personally, knowing your musical taste, I would probably recommend Chocolate and Cheese as a starting point.
Okay.
It's very 1994.
It's I do love 1994.
There's even the song Voodoo Lady is in an episode of The State, the toothbrush skit. If you remember that one?
Excellent.
Yeah.
And the album he's referring to, Pure Guava, was the album before Chocolate and Cheese. And that they had a music video for Push a Little Daisies that was on MTV and was on Beavis and Butthead, which
that's definitely the first place I saw it.
That
I was like, man, those voices are crazy.
Really propelled everything out there. But that was also their last album recording on a 4-track. And Chocolate and Cheese, they actually joked about it, about how they, you know, were gonna use the same old style and like in that classic Jane Pratt video, you know what I'm talking about. The it's like a local Philadelphia like Ricky Lake style show, and they went on it and did Freedom of 76 with the old 4-track DAT player, and she interviews him before, and they're both really out of it. And and Aaron jokes that, you know, they're going to go to the Bahamas and record in a multi-track studio. But that is what they ended up doing, is building their own multi-track studio. And Chocolate and Cheese is, it's a gem. I mean, it's
it's one of my favorite albums of all time, personally. I play that from beginning to end. I love every song.
And that one's pretty long, right? There's 21 tracks on that album or something like that.
It's a bunch, yeah.
It's a pretty lengthy album. So, Aaron, I'm curious, like, you find this track as part of the sampler in a magazine, then you go, and Chocolate and Cheese is the one you pick up right away.
Oh, yeah.
It's got that cover. It's an easy starting point. Do you remember what was the sort of the emotional connection that you formed with it? Could you describe what that feeling was that made you kind of just dive headlong into this band?
I think I always looked for absurdity in music and just anything that was different. I grew up playing classical music and just grew up in a one streetlight town. Just, you know, you had access to what you could find.
Right.
And certainly every song on Chocolate and Cheese is distinctly different, but somehow, and then God, on Pure Guava, it's all over the place.
There's a lot of noise and thrash and kind of punk stuff.
I think that was the image that I always had, that it was pretty noise heavy, and
it's not.
Right, exactly. I that's what I'm saying. I'm happy to admit that I've been underinformed, to say the least.
If I'm not mistaken, the song Don't Get Too Close to My Fantasy, that's on Pure Guava, right?
That's, oh yeah.
And that sounds exactly like Ziggy Stardust, David Bowie.
Which sounds fantastic.
It's crazy. And then the song Poop Ships on that album. And that song is a masterpiece of absurdity. I love it so much. Sometimes they'll play that song live for 20-some minutes. It's heavy, man. It's slow and it's funny, but it's also, there's a lot of depth to it. Dean Ween, he takes a lot of his influence. I saw an interview on Vice. Vice has a cool show. I'm totally forgetting the name of it right now. But this dude just goes and plays guitar with people. And he played guitar with Dean and played some heavy shit. It turns out that Dean's really into ZZ Top.
Oh, interesting.
He takes a lot of inspiration from them.
Another band I didn't really like.
But they're super riffy and very bluesy, kind of funky. And Ween can go there. They go all over the place. And they play a lot of crazy covers. One thing about Ween, though, they have a crazy crossover with a lot of Phish fans. Because Phish...
This is another audience I don't trust.
Back in like 94, 95, they covered Roses Are Free.
Rightfully so.
Maybe actually it might have been much later than that. I think it was in like 98 or something. They covered Roses Are Free, which is a song off of Chocolate and Cheese, which I thought was an okay song, but I was surprised that they covered that song personally.
It blew up. I was shut out of that show in Rochester, New York. I grew up outside of Buffalo, and that should have been my second Phish concert. I don't want to get way too far into it because all the Ween fans listening to this are cringing right now. But, or actually probably more like half of them. But the ones that are cringing real hard right now. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was the first time they played that. I should have been at that show, but for some reason I got shut out and could not get a ticket. 17-year-old me that bought some mushrooms and ended up at a Denny's.
The one person that should have been there. Right. Absolutely.
A 17-year-old anybody on mushrooms. You needed that show.
And then all of a sudden, all my friends who were super into Fish were like, yeah, Ween. And I was like, why? And they would play that song, Roses Are Free, over and over and over. And it just killed that song for me.
Classically, Dean, one of his cousin's kids or something like that played it for him at like a family gathering. And yeah, he shut that shit down. And you know, like in the spirit of Fish, they have fun with that song. They've jammed that song, and that's probably, you know, part of why. And actually, the other reason why all the Ween fans are cringing right now is when Ween was not back together summer before last at a show, they played Fish played Roses Are Free, and then Trey goes up to the mic and says, "Aaron and Mickey, it's time you guys get back together. You're one of my favorite bands." Oh. And yeah,
and they got back together, but I bet they were like, "Fuck that! That's not why we got back together." I bet that's how they think.
So I feel like I'm coming out of this conversation and these anecdotes with some mixed messages. I know you guys are really. I'm listening to your words, and they're trying to sell me on this music, and I want to give it a chance based on your enthusiasm. But then I'm hearing a lot of other red flags for a listener like me. I'm hearing, on the one hand, I'm hearing Ween fans are suspicious and perhaps even hateful of Fish fans, which I respect as an audience. But then on the other hand, I'm hearing there's a little bleed in the middle. And
there is, and it's weird. I don't know what does it. Can I take that risk? Well, why don't we listen to some Ween?
Let's do it.
And give you a fucking taster. Taste.
Yeah. What's Aaron? Are you you get the right of first refusal here? Do you have a track to start us off with?
Yeah, I rolled in with just some B sides today, and do you want to look at them with me and select one, or do you want me to just go?
Oh,
for
man,
it?
Oh man, go for it! You're the true Ween knowledge here. You give it to us.
All right, I am just gonna go for it. We'll do one of the B sides from Quebec. we'll do Ooh Va La. Got some lick to smoke, so prop me up if you please. Stuffy eyes tell lies, but you can't disguise the truth. We'll be right back.
All right, so there was a B-side. I was thinking my way through that song as opposed to kind of feeling my way through that song. And you said, so is there a different starting point for every new Ween initiate? So, like, let's say you did know me a little bit better. Mm-hmm. If you knew me really well, you said chocolate and cheese was a good starting point, just kind of generally. Is that true for people you don't know, everyone who's showing some interest? Or can you, like, cater your recommendation based on the person's taste?
Definitely you can cater it. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I guess...
Let's say, like, I'm a punk rock fan. Let's say I love, like... Just straight ahead punk rock music.
Then I'd probably give you God, Ween, Satan, the Oneness.
Just start right from the beginning. It's just raw. It's, yeah. And Diener plays all the drums on that album, and just right off the bat, you fucked up right in your face. Yeah, yeah. That's a good one to start with. That one, first time I heard it, was... I didn't even know what to think. It was just one after another. That album has like 26 songs on it, and... I can't think of the last time I got all the way through it.
Really?
Yeah.
So it's tough, huh?
Yeah, yeah. It's
an abrasive listen.
It really is. But for a punk rock person, yeah, I feel like God, Ween, Satan, just bang your head right into that.
Let's say I loved like 70s era Eagles.
Then I would say probably Chocolate and Cheese still.
Okay.
I can see the Mollusk too.
Yeah.
The Mollusk kind of has that.
But is that Eagle's starting point? Is that too ridiculous a starting point to recommend a positive Ween experience? I mean, is there such a thing as too far afield?
I don't know.
For someone who could possibly like Ween? Oh, I hate the Eagles, too. I find them some of the most irritating music there is.
An Eagles fan would definitely like 12 Country Hits. They'd probably like Piss Up a Rope. You can throw Piss Up a Rope on at a party, and like 10 people will start singing along. That song is universally known now.
What age were you, Aaron, when you come across this track?
Freedom of 76, the Hub magazine. I was 15 or 14. I was somewhere in there, and just hungry for anything different.
What were you listening to at the time? Do you remember?
Oh God, I mean, I used to love Beck. I used to love Dead Milkmen. I remember Smashing Pumpkins right when they hit.
Do love Smashing Pumpkins.
Yeah, that was first two albums, God. But
Gish has been in heavy rotation. The listeners know that because I've been saying it every week for like a month, but can't recommend that album enough, Andy.
Silver Fuck. Seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That's some good shit. But the It's Pat movie, which you have to really try to like. but Pat is sad on the side of the road, and Ween pulls up in a van and opens up and comforts her and asks her to play her tuba at their concert that night. And I believe it is Don't Get Too Close to My Fantasy is the song that they actually play.
Is it really? Wow. And, I've never seen that movie. I had no idea Ween was in it. That's awesome.
I think it's on YouTube. I think just their part is, because, yeah, Dave Foley played. Oh, never mind.
Conversely, while I'm still on the fence about Ween, you are talking me steadily into seeing the It's Pat movie.
Really?
Well, there's that takeaway.
I've heard Dave Foley. I've heard Ween.
I was going to say Dave Foley does not save that movie. And just watch the YouTube clips. That is fantastic.
Well, have you ever had a similar experience with other bands? Is anything else that grabbed you in that way? I mean, maybe not to that degree, because obviously you make this music and recreate this music. But is there anything else that's in that pantheon for you?
I think it really took hold when I saw them live, and I didn't see them live until I was 22. I mean, I bought the albums, I was into it, but until you connect with other people that, you know, all, and what's interesting, I mean, there's so much left to interpretation with Ween. Like, there's not a whole lot of almost all their lyrics are kind of crazy in a way. And there's not a lot of literal stuff, except for the tongue-in-cheek kind of funny stuff. Like most of their great lyrics are analogous, and you can totally take what you want from them. And but I got to see them on Halloween right after I turned 21 in North Carolina, and they came on stage, and Jeaner was in a giant egg gnome costume, and the rest of the band was all wearing chicken suits. And they got on stage and just laughed for 2 minutes straight and did not did not play a note. And then they played Ice Castles, which was about as weird an opening song as
Ice Castles is. It sounds like the soundtrack to a 70s horror movie, but it has that same, like, it's falling apart at the seams feel. I don't know. That's crazy. It's a crazy song to see them play live. Wow.
Yeah, it was a very unexpected first song, but
I was a DJ at Olive and Dingo's wedding, the clowns we had on, and that was their opening dance song. That's what they wanted to dance to, was Ice Castles. I was so proud.
Oh, man.
Okay. And her father-daughter dance, she picked Today is the Greatest Day.
Oh.
So there's your Smashing sweet. Pumpkins.
Yeah. Well.
Beautiful.
Okay, so you talked about being in this audience as a 21-year-old mm-hmm. and connecting with these people that are having a similar experience to you. Is there like a consistent thread among the people that are in that community? Is there a set of characteristics that you really respond to about these people who have the same reaction you do?
I think we were just starting to touch on it earlier about their sense of humor and just the absurdity of it, and that you kind of have to have a sick sense of humor in order right. to enjoy a lot of their music. And when you're around people that you can offend them, but you can't offend them, you know, like you can offend their son, you know, you can
say you're a Fish fan. That'll offend them. Nothing else though.
But you know, yeah, there's almost no line that you can't cross joking around with Ween fans. And that's why being with a large collection of them is always super fun. That first night I was dressed up as Flavor Flav and, with some of my, it was Halloween, but, with some of my best friends and people I still go see Ween with till this day. There's videos of that on YouTube I've rewatched and just bam, right there. It's my best friend from college in a belly dancer costume, like right in the shot. It's just like, yes, send that right.
So that formative memory is captured for you. That's like a shared yet private experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Behind the clock and the sunglasses.
And I see what you mean. I mean, it's there are some people for whom their favorite kind of music or the music they listen to the most often almost tells you nothing about them. But there are certain bands that if you meet someone who's, I mean, it seems like what you're saying with Ween fans is you can infer some things pretty quickly about someone who is there, and those tend to be good things. Which, yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I have any music that tells a very big story about me. I've never really connected with other people who are big fans of a certain kind of music in that way. I mean, I love, like, the band I think I've loved the most is probably the Beatles. And that's, like, that's you share with everybody, but you also, in so doing, share with nobody. So it feels like a personal thing to me, but it's not at all a personal experience to love mm-hmm. the Beatles.
It's like really liking The Simpsons.
Yeah, exactly. Which is another, I mean, that's another good example, because that feels like a very formative and private, personal thing for me. But it connects me with almost everyone, but there's no, it doesn't really tell me anything about them or about myself. When did the cover band start?
So the cover band started it really started as a way to fill a whole night and get paid for it. And not having enough original music to get paid the $200 or whatever that this town does not pay artists very well.
Right. And, yeah, if you can squeeze 200 out of somebody, it's a great night here in Portland.
Yeah. And the places that wanted us to do that wanted us to fill the whole night. And then what, you need three bands and then everybody gets $20 maybe.
Right.
And it was like, all right, guys, Dean taught me how to play guitar. Gene taught me how to play guitar. Just wanting to learn all those songs is the only way I self-taught myself. I grew up playing cello, and I'll still do that a little bit. I'm going to bring it back into the Ween fold here sooner or later.
Oh, sweet.
There's a few. Pandy Fackler, I can just straight up crush on cello. But I was in an original band playing cello, and coming up here, the day before Thanksgiving will be our sixth annual Thanksgiving brownout. This will be the sixth year in a row. The night before Thanksgiving, we have a show, and it's going to be right up the street here at 92nd and Foster at the Eagle Eye Tavern.
Oh, that's awesome.
Nice.
In the neighborhood.
And, oh, yeah. Come on out. It's going to be fantastic this year. and super ill rehearsed. that's usually the way it goes, but this year more than ever. And but what we do is my bandmate pre-records drum tracks on an electronic drum set, and we just play along to those tracks, trying to do basically what Gene and Dean did to start off with their four track. And they used to play live shows with a four track tape player on stage, and Kirk would hit the buttons and cue up the songs. Yeah. And that's how they played until 94. And so, I'm pretty damn sure we're the only Ween cover band that is doing it that way. There's actually two Ween cover bands in Portland.
Really?
The other Ween cover band's drummer came through my line at Trader Joe's the other day.
Did you guys share a squinty-eyed stare with one another?
I had seen his band. I don't think he's seen mine yet. But,
what's the other Ween cover band called?
They're called the Voodoo Lady Boys.
Oh, okay.
And I had a
Ween. You guys should just do a bill. Just do a twin bill.
Oh, we're going to work it out. Okay. We've talked about it, and when I met them, I told them that the day before Thanksgiving is mine. And that's the only, you know,
yeah,
I was
just
here first.
Clear the fuck out.
Well,
we'll paint this town brown.
Yeah.
But
for one night only, this is a one Ween town.
But yeah, we're super excited about the show, like we always are. And it's what's been amazing is the last couple years I've gotten connected with internet groups that are into Ween, the Ween Appreciation Society. Shout out to all y'all. 16,000 members strong now.
Jeez.
And since we've connected with them, I get a lot of random people at shows that just saw it on the internet. There's quite a concentration of Ween fans.
That's awesome.
It's funny. I was just learning, I've been I go pretty deep in Netflix into the nature documentaries, which produces, again, a stream of recommendations that skew pretty far down the line. And recently one came up, was like a show from like 1997 from the BBC about, it was called X Creatures, playing on the X-Files. And so I've been learning, I've been watching this British man debunk, you know, famous monsters as I fall asleep at night. And one of the big areas that they debunk on is the sustainability of a population. So like Loch Ness Monster, for example, couldn't possibly exist because that's just a pretty much a dead lake. And though it does connect to the ocean, there's not enough there to sustain a population. And that's immediately what I thought of when I heard of two Ween cover bands in Portland. It's like, you know, this has got to be, I don't know. I mean, I guess Portland is an eclectic mix of people, but I would have thought this was the Loch Ness of Ween ecosystems.
Dude, a little side note real quick. Speaking about animal videos.
Okay.
Did you guys
feel like
see
mine
that,
was definitely a side.
That clip from the new Earth? Planet Earth series with the iguana
I absolutely
running from the
did.
Snakes.
Oh yeah!
Oh my god,
looks
that's
amazing.
I have not seen it. I mean, I'm
holy
super stoked. Obviously,
shit. This baby iguana drops right into the middle of a fucking snake pit.
Oh man,
it's amazing.
I was amazed. It's amazing that they captured that. In just like that. The 5-minute preview they showed for this Planet Earth 2, how many creatures that yet again they seem to have filmed for the first time? There were so many new creatures for me to learn about. I'm so pumped for that series.
Me too. Oh my god.
Who's gonna do the American voiceover? Like Sigourney Weaver did the American voiceover.
I'm pitching us, definitely.
Oh, I would love to do that. If you and I just I'll read a script. I can do a clean read.
Oh man, I could make some animal noises. I could do whatever they need. They probably don't
I think
want
I'll read the script
noise.
And you just riff in the background.
I think that sounds great.
And just react to these animals.
You saw the Snoop Dogg thing, right? When Snoop Dogg was narrating it?
No.
They had this like thing where Snoop Dogg was talking over Planet Earth, and it was amazing. He's really good at it.
Oh, man. I would listen to a full Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. I would also listen to Kevin James for 10 episodes. That's how much I want to see Planet Earth 2.
As Paul Blart.
That I would swallow 10 hours of fucking Kevin James.
Or Adam Sandler
just
in his,
to see the magnificence of voice. The majesty of Planet Earth 2.
Oh man, it's gonna be so good.
Yeah, just like your show on
Wednesday November 23rd we're going on right at 9 sharp, and we're gonna give you a solid hour of good old brown weed music.
Yeah, and everybody, that's the homecoming night, that night before Thanksgiving. That's the big get drunk with your middle school friends who are now near strangers.
It's always a great crowd, and you get to meet people's cousins and their families and shit. And
people are getting wasted on that Wednesday before Thanksgiving.
Last year, dangerously wasted.
Last year we had that place slamming, and it's because of the Facebook group, and it's because of because Ween's awesome, and it's great to celebrate together. What's so great about the Facebook group? The best thing about it is that Diener frequently posts on there, whether it's just like the song he recorded that day or, I found this box of old records and here's some first pressings and I'm going to send them to this. There's in New Hope, Pennsylvania, their hometown, there's a record store that, it's called God Save the Queens with a queen or whatever. And he just sends her everything and she just takes care of it all. And
wow.
Yeah.
Sick.
Nice.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, he has just given us so much. Do you have you heard the story about the transdermal celebration guitar solo?
No, I have no idea what that means.
This is actually a story I have heard.
Really?
No. Oh, wow.
Okay, well, Diener's guitar tech used to work for Santana, and he knew that Santana
around the time that song Smooth came out.
Oh man. Yeah, I think it kind of was. It was 2003.
The Supernatural era.
It was when they were recording Quebec. His guitar tech knew that Santana's gear was getting moved up to New York City to be on Good Morning America, possibly to play with Rob
Smooth.
Thomas.
Holding a song in the back or a sign in the background outside that Clear studio.
Most likely. But they knew that the storage container was going to be in Philadelphia for a couple hours in the middle of the night. So they called Diener. Diener goes out there. The guy sets up. This is Santana's roadie, essentially.
Sure.
Sets up all his gear. And in one take, they recorded the solo for Transdermal Celebration.
With Carlos Santana's bootleg
guitar. With his rig and through his...
Wow.
And no matter how hard he tried, it kept playing smooth.
Yeah.
So the next time you hear that absolutely perfect solo.
Wow, that's one take. That's incredible. Wow. Dude's a professional.
What an elaborate scheme to get that on the record.
Yeah, like 10 years later, they add a whole bunch of pictures. They're like, okay, no one can get fired. No one can get in trouble for any of this.
Right.
Here's what happened.
The statute of limitation had passed. That's like having to record all your songs during a solar eclipse. You know, if that is mm-hmm. your recording technique, it's going to be a pretty low yield career. But
a pretty cool concept.
But you have to own those records, you know? You have to buy those records.
Did you guys see Carlos Santana in the World Series? There's a guy named Carlos Santana. I think he plays for the Indians. There's also a dude named Coco Crisp.
I did know about that.
That dude's got the coolest name.
Coco Crisp. Well, speaking of cool, Aaron, let's hear a little bit more music. Usually we'll go to Andy, but, you know, he can play anything he wants. I want to hear something else that you brought for us to enjoy tonight.
Sure. We brought up the country album, and we brought up The Grateful Dead. This is a
I love this song.
A B-side and a tribute to Jerry.
This is on my list too. Now, do you think this song is a joke before we play it, or do you think they're legit Deadheads? Because this song is heartfelt and sweet.
This song is absolutely beautiful. It should have been included on the country album.
It was too serious.
I mean,
the rest of the album was pretty jokey.
And Fluffy, you know, is the other epic song.
Fuck, but, I love Fluffy. That's the other song that pulled me into Ween. Me and my friend would laugh our asses off and listen to that, but really it's a touching ballad.
And okay, so what is this Grateful Dead homage that we're going to play? What's the name of this?
It is So Long, Jerry. Thank you.
up my things and went outside. The man that I loved up and died. I couldn't believe after all this time. Never knew the man, but he was a good friend of mine. So long, I'll see you down that long, dark river, or floating on that lining in the sky. I'm lucky, lucky enough to have heard you play your song. So long, Jerry, so long.
That was so beautiful. Like, not even kidding. Like, that song is fucking beautiful.
The slide guitar. I think I heard some slide guitar in that song.
Mm-hmm.
That's become one of my favorite little instruments. You don't hear slide guitar in a lot of different kinds of music. And I don't love country music, but that slide guitar, that lap steel.
Lap steel, yeah.
Love that.
It's cool, man. It would be fun to be the lap steel player. You're just, like, sitting down and you have this whole thing in front of you. It looks so crazy.
I feel like, yeah, you can be... You can look like anything as the lap steel player. There is no preconceived image for the lap steel. You can be just filthy. In fact, if you were just like Pigpen from Peanuts, just kicking up dirt, and you were a lap steel player, and you're just a filthy. You know, kind of like the people who like go barefoot at a festival, and like 3 days in, they're just a half inch of dirt caked up to the knees. That's you could be that lap steel player. just raggedy jean cutoffs, dirt up to the mid thigh, and making that beautiful
feet
sound.
Of hardened leather,
right? Toeless shoes,
but rotten crotch,
totally acceptable.
Sorry, I went too far there.
On the other end of the spectrum, there, Aaron, I'm curious about the cello, which is the cleanest footed instrument that I can think of. How did you get started playing the cello, and how young were you when you took that up?
I started taking Suzuki cello lessons when I was 4. My mother was a Suzuki Method piano teacher. It's a guy from Japan that started a method.
I thought you meant it was like dirt bike based.
Not dirt bike, no.
It was your reward.
I believe there's violin and piano. Anyway,
it's a pain-based learning method.
It is teaching music as a language, and it's very memorization based. You can't move on to the next song until you've memorized the previous song. At least that's how I remember it. But
methodology, is there sort of like a logical progression? Like when you say you can't move on, is it because you're learning something that this person considers to be fundamental to the instrument?
Yes.
Thus, you have to master it in order to be progressing as a player?
Well, yes, and you start with Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. And I topped out at the Haydn Cello Concerto, which is insanely hard. And yeah, I kept playing cello into college, but then I kind of really slacked on it. And
so you played for at least like 14 straight years.
Oh, I played into my 20s, and then I kind of put it away for a while. And then when I moved to Portland here, I got turned on to Skerrick, the saxophone player for Les Claypool's projects and his band Critters Buggin' that are completely amazing. And he plays a saxophone through lots of effects pedals. And I just thought to myself, I can do that with a cello and imitate, in some kind of ways what he was doing, especially with all the feedback that you can get from a cello. And yeah, I played in a band called Face the Box for a couple years and never made it in this town and never really found a genre. We made an album at Jackpot Studios.
Oh, nice.
And we never put it on anything. We never made a record. Oh, yeah, it's still just sitting there. But it exists
somewhere.
Yeah.
It's an egg of potential.
It does. Me and the two other guys are close friends, and we're going to work it out one of these days, and we're going to have an album that's 6 years old now. But it's awesome. And
if it defies genre and it includes a cello, I think it doesn't matter when you release that album. I think it's always the right time.
I think that's timeless, man.
Yeah, it's like timeless. A fine wine.
Well, the first song is called Time Not Space, and it's 17 minutes long. Fantastic. And yeah, there you go. Yeah,
that is the kind of song that you can release at any time in history.
Oh yeah, and it's gonna have mass appeal, I'm sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm wondering. So obviously, you have like a very open mind to a lot of different and what a lot of people would consider strange and even abrasive music. So do you feel as if like your exposure from a young age to classical music opened you up to more kinds of music?
I think it made me want to listen to the strangest music I could find. And I think just the structure and rigidity of playing classical music made me desire to hear the strangest things I could find.
So did you bristle against classical music, or you just grew tired of it in like the mastery of it?
I mean, yeah, I wish I appreciated it more now and would have, it was almost like I had to practice. I had to go to orchestra and I had to do this and that. And it's not that I never enjoyed it, but it was just something I had to do. Mm-hmm. And now looking back, I know my mom's going to listen to this, that I wish I would have enjoyed it just a little bit more. But certainly.
Well, since she's listening, let's talk about the deep wells of resentment that you hold for her. I'm just kidding, Mom. And seems entirely well adjusted, and he's got a valuable life skill as a master of the cello.
Oh, I talked to my mom today, and she's doing good. And I love you, Mom. If you made it this far into the podcast,
I was just giving you a hard time. We love you too. Thank you for listening.
How about them Cubs, guys?
But okay, so I am curious about that. Do you, when you're 4 years old? Your memories, I think, at least my memories, are spotty at best. So I know that I remember things that happened when I was 4, but I can't create any story about me being 4. So when you pick up the cello, do you have memories of the learning process when you're that young?
I mean, yeah. I do, and it's, you know, it's all the things that you have to remember to play cello, right? Your posture, you know, your hand position, you know. And I guess that's what I remember, is like having to think about several things at once. And to be able to concentrate on that level. And I guess that has helped me over the years, playing in front of people in that respect, and then playing in orchestras in front of people, and now being part of a band that only has two people in it, you know, and trying to cover a lot of ground. It prepared me to, it's one of the few things I multitask well, and it's probably because I think about it way too much.
Interesting. They always talk about, you know, music being one of the areas, and like mathematics, that you can be like a true genius in. Okay, Andy, I think we should play a little bit of music from you. It's your turn. Are you going to add to the Ween stew for our listeners
tonight?
Something.
I'm not going to play Ween. I'm going to play a different song.
That's fair. Yeah.
This has been heavy rotation.
You got to put a potato in that stew.
This is a band called Vampire Auto Parts from Portland.
Hmm.
This song, they kind of describe their sound as a new style of electronic music called squee.
Oh, this is the term that they invented?
Their record label pushes it. I don't know what they say themselves. But this song is called...
It's been an episode full of red flags.
Yeah.
But I'm interested. What's the name of this one?
The song's called Your Dirty Hobo Birthday Tricks Won't Save You Long Time. We'll be right back.
I barely ever speak about Born to Be Wild.
Oh my god. I saw Stephen Wolf performing at a casino on OPB one night, and it was hilarious. They have not aged well. They are still pumping along and hitting that casino circuit, so fucking get out there and see them.
You were watching like the closed circuit rebroadcast of a casino show of Steppenwolf like recently?
Oh shit, speaking of TV performances, did you guys see Beyonce and the Dixie Chicks directly after the World Series the other night?
I didn't.
No.
Oh my god, I switched over and it was the Country Music Awards and Beyonce and the Dixie Chicks were on stage with a full brass band including Too Many Zoos. Who we played on the show before that, Subway Band.
Oh, interesting. What was the... Wait, they were on the Country Music Awards playing together?
Yeah, that's kind of a thing they do in the Country Music Awards.
What was Queen Bee doing there?
She sang a Dixie Chick song. Or no, first they sang a Beyonce song, and then they sang a Dixie Chick song. And it was quite a spectacle. It was amazing. There was definitely a look of shock, and like, it wasn't country for a while there. It got pretty cool.
Kenny Rogers, just his mouth just fell open with his perfect black dress cowboy hat and his bleached white beard. He was just staring at Queen Bee.
He couldn't handle it.
That's Sasha Fierce.
It was too fierce.
Way fierce.
Wait, that they were all saying, this is way too fierce for a country music award.
They didn't even understand that they were making a pun. It was just the word they use. Speaking of words that have an ambiguous meaning, Aaron, are you down to play a little game with us?
Yeah, I'm all in.
We do a little something called License Plate Detective. Andy is a keen observer of the human condition, and he will occasionally come across a vanity license plate. Which is
what he means is I stare at license plates while I'm driving and almost crash constantly.
And people. He'll like make a long eye contact with just a little half grin on his face out there in the world. It is it's beautiful and deeply unnerving all at the same time. It's like watching a spider build its web. You know, that's exactly what Andy's grin is like. But he will, like I said, he'll come across these vanity plates, but he won't have any idea what they mean. They obviously mean something because people paid to have them made, but we're not sure. So we're going to help him.
And occasionally, as I look at them on my phone, I realize what they mean and I feel like a dumbass for even writing them down. Like this one, S-O-N-B-E-M. That's definitely Sunbeam, right?
Or his son, Bem.
I love Bem.
My firstborn.
Short for Benjamin.
Bem. Yeah, Benjamin. Yeah. So you're right. Son it is Bem. Very obvious when you think of the number of Bems that are out there. And or this proud other fathers.
Yeah, a lot of proud fathers. A lot of kids named Benjamin. This one. Rutar. R-U-T-A-R.
Rutar.
Is this backwards? Did they put this on the backwards? Is it Ratter?
No, that's an Australian. Ratter. That's an Australian, and they use kangaroo piss is like a big problem there because they're like Canadian geese out there. They're just kangaroos everywhere, and so when you they'll come like a cat will spray, a kangaroo will do the same thing, and it's called Rutar. Like you know, covered in Rutar this morning. So it's obviously an Australian expat who wanted a little bit of that Rutar flavor here in the States. The States.
Or it could be, are you tar?
Which is a deeply Southern way of asking if you're tired.
Yeah.
Are you tar? It's definitely regional.
Definitely.
So I think we figured that one out pretty well. What's something else you came across, Andy?
This one was just stupid, but I liked it. It is.
It is.
Two words. It is.
Fill in the blank.
Is that a Mercedes? It is.
I like the edit.
That was really good.
Before you ask, it is.
Do you remember what that car was?
No. Sometimes I write down. I saw one the other day that just said bottle, but it was a wine country license plate.
Ah, but you don't remember the it is car?
No, I never write down any of the cars. I'm blind to the cars. Like one, today, I saw one that said it's a me. But it was like EIT. S-A space M-I. So you have to read it like Mario.
Yeah.
And it's me in Italian, so.
Yeah, and that was like a little BMW.
Oh, okay. Well,
perfect.
So, I do remember that.
Vaguely continental automobile.
No, BMWs are not Italian.
Well, they're both Axis powers.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I said continental. It's not Italian, but, you know. Yeah. They were allies during the Second World War. Good point.
Yeah. Here's a good one I saw the other day. Wiglin, W-I-G-L-Y-N.
Just wiggling.
Just wiggling. Driving around town wiggling. Mm-hmm. That's like a new term for drifting. It's when you're drifting out of control at all times. All four wheels just wiggling.
Yeah. It's when you're like Sunday driving with like three beers in you. It's got to be daylight hours. And you're just like, you're taking the back roads. Oh, I'm probably, I know it's like 5 minutes away, but I'm going to be wiggling my way over there. So give me half an hour. I'm just going to be taking it real slow. I'm just going to get a little wiggle.
I'm going to wiggle home down some back roads.
It's like what, you know, it's like it's what you do every dangerous time on like Sunday after you've watched football for an afternoon. You just got to wiggling on home.
And the police walk up to your window and go, boy, you wiggling.
Mm-hmm. You've been wiggling. I saw you wiggling. Get on home. I'm following you.
You're going to prison for wiggling.
Right.
We have a special prison for wigglers.
But this guy does it so often, which is actually dangerous and scary, that he's such an enthusiast that he got the plate.
Yeah.
Which is almost like begging to be pulled over.
It is.
What's another plate, Andy? I think we got time for two more.
This one's weird. Jewel and the letter T.
Jewel T.
Like, what the fuck? So it's like Jewel. This girl named T and she's just a jewel. Or is it like a jewel thief? Like, oh, they'll just put the letter T because I'm a master thief. They'll never catch me.
Right. Hidden in plain sight is the old jewel T. Most people don't remember that thief begins with the letter T. Yeah. So it really
that
is.
T is a common abbreviation for thief.
Right. Or it was... No, that's the best I've got.
It's a weird, stupid license plate. That one's just strange. It's definitely
someone's
name.
Well, it could just be a woman's name named Jewel Thomas.
Jewel Thomas. Old Jewel T. Who puts their name on their license plate?
Well,
it's so weird.
There is a Jewel Thomas who is a courier. Like, she's like an independent contractor, and she will courier around things for people. Mm-hmm. It used to be much more popular than it is now, but...
Oh, man, speaking of
Jewel Thomas,
dishes,
the courier. So it's kind of like an advertisement.
The other night, I was sitting at home, and I had cookies delivered like pizza.
Wait, from where? Who's delivering cookies?
This place called After Dark Cookies on Woodstock. They will straight up deliver you cookies like pizza. It's amazing. Oh, and they'll stop by, what the fuck is that place called? Cloud City Ice Cream, and grab you ice cream and popcorn.
That's fucking awesome.
And Stumptown Cold Brews. Deliver them to your house.
What?
They cook
these
cookies.
So you just get
cookies.
Like a little party pack,
no,
dessert
you,
pack delivered right to your door?
Them up. You set it up online, and they bake the cookies from scratch. And then they bring them to you when they're ready.
It's a great idea.
It's amazing.
I often lament the dearth of deliverable food in Portland, but it also seems unsustainable.
It is. It's very expensive. But it's the cookies are really good. But I mean, not really expensive. You're paying $2 to $3 a cookie, and there's a minimum like $13.
Oh, I think you pay. I'm happy to pay like the premium for a delivered dessert, but I don't know when I'm ever going to do that. Although now I am specifically going to do it, so maybe it's just a matter of people knowing that it's available, and it will just explode.
So get those cookies. Get those After Dark cookies.
I think it's just a great example of how spoiled we are in Portland. Yeah. For all the people that are not in Portland right now listening to this, we have it too good here.
Right. We are. I am actually complaining that this is the only dessert delivery program in town. I'm actually complaining. It actually makes me angry. All right, Andy, one more. Take us home.
Man.
There's got to be something phallic in that deck.
I'm running out. I'm running out of weird ones.
I will say that Ween can be a dicey vanity plate because a lot of states will reject you, but they get through sometimes.
Some people get them.
Some people get them, and some
with
people
just
don't.
Just the word Ween?
Yeah, just the word Ween, just on the Facebook board because it's close to Wiener.
Oh
yeah.
Well,
I would think that.
So
that's
sometimes they'll say no, you can't have the Ween license plate.
Yes, I've seen that people have been rejected on the internet, and some people have been successful.
Do you remember what states it was? There was Arizona. I feel like Arizona would shut you right down.
I know there's at least one Ween.
One of those Ween faring states.
There's at least one Ween license plate in a bar here in town. So
nice.
Yes.
Have you tried? Have you inquired as to its availability here in Oregon?
I have not inquired, no. And
I just got plates. I should have asked.
All right, here we go.
This is it.
This is the last one here. This is one I saw yesterday, and it was on a truck. N-U-R-R-O-B.
N-U-R.
Nurob.
Was there a space?
Yeah. What's that? Nur.
Nurob.
Nurob. It's like, it's definitely Rob. Well, that's like Rob's truck, but what's NUR? And you are? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's just a shitty license plate, I think. I think they were just dealt a shitty hand. Yeah.
I'm a new Rob.
I'm a new Rob.
Or he's a big nu metal fan named Rob. He was a big Limp Bizkit, Disturbed, Stained. He couldn't get an umlaut over at the
U. So he just added an extra R after
he
it?
Just used to have like a like a soul patch and wear like wrist gauntlets, and he was like, that was his nickname. Oh, it's new Rob. This guy's a real dick.
Here comes Rob. He used to be regular Rob. Now he's new Rob.
Ugh, new Rob. Can't stand him. He's a real piece of shit.
Driving around town in his truck all day.
I mean, he's nice. He's just like always wanting to play his music loudest and for a long time.
He's so passionate and emotive. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like he is a sweet guy. But God, don't invite him.
Not new Rob.
Don't tell him that there is a bonfire happening, because he'll bring a boombox full of shit.
A boombox full of puddle of mud.
A puddle of mud. Yeah, you better like Godsmack's third album a whole bunch. Because new Rob is bringing it to the bonfire with his new Rob car. Aaron, we got time for a little more Ween. Let's hear something else that you brought.
All right, well, let's take it home with some sweet Texas Fire.
Way back in school, they made jokes about you, baby.
Kind of show is this?
it's a real loose one. And we got time for I want to do a little rapid fire. I'm going to give you just two things. You tell me which you would choose.
Right on.
No wrong answers. The first one that I had in mind was Birkenstocks or Doc Martens.
Birkenstocks.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Andy, would you go some real shit kickers?
Oh yeah, definitely Doc Martens. I cannot stand anything between my toes. Oh wait, Birkenstocks.
Birkenstocks are just the real.
I've never owned a pair of Birkenstocks.
They're magic, they really are. It's all about comfort, and those Doc Martens. I mean, you can kick some shit.
Oh man, but a good pair of Doc Martens when you wear them in after like 5-6 years, they're fantastic. They take forever to not be uncomfortable, though. They do. I'll give you that.
But once you get that groove in the Birkenstocks, that your foot just kind of sits right in them. Mm-hmm. But you do get that dust, that festival dust. It can happen. Second choice, cup of snot or cup of vomit?
What?
To do what with?
Yeah. Cup of snot or cup of vomit?
Yeah. What's your choice?
It's not.
Maybe you have to fill them with the respective things. Would you rather fill a cup with snot or fill a cup with vomit? Vomit's easier, but probably less pleasant.
Snot's
going to take a little bit longer, but what could be more satisfying than using a little cup as a sort of a snot rocket spittoon?
That sounds great. I'm
because
go with,
you've been tasked with collecting a cup
of
snot.
This would you rather scenario. Gonna
gonna
ask more
but
questions.
maybe it's drinking. Maybe the real mystery is, what am I choosing?
You
here?
Fill it, you finish it. It's one of those situations.
There's very few things that I want to do with either of these cups of fluid.
Real,
I think that
a real top it and drop it situation.
If I go fill it and you have to slam if I go it. Fill the cup, I want snot. If I go drink, I think I also want snot.
Yeah. I don't want anything to do with that vomit. Well, is it your snot or someone else's snot?
It's a cup of snot.
Oh, that's
if
so
you're
gross.
Drinking it, you didn't fill it. That's
well,
all you
okay,
know.
So here's the thing. I'll take the cup of snot, but it's going to be a cup of vomit as soon as it's down.
Yeah, maybe it's a before and after. This is like taking the LSATs.
Is this a line that people are just like drinking the snot and then throwing up and then blowing their nose real quick? This is disgusting.
Okay, would you rather eat human meat or eat gorilla meat?
I'd rather eat gorilla meat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think that's the right answer.
Oh, yeah,
right.
Yeah.
You ever had gorilla jerky? I stopped at the jerky place on 26
I know
this
that.
Weekend.
You have to.
I finally stopped in there, and I bought a pack of, like, jerky, and I made the mistake of reading the ingredients. And one of them
was gorilla. One of them was silverback mountain gorilla.
The first ingredient was pork hearts.
Oh.
And then pork.
Well.
And then buffalo.
Pork heart is the jerkiest part of the pork.
It's the jerkiest organ.
Yeah, that place, I do think that you have to like wait till the shop is empty and say a very specific phrase for they'll even talk to you about the various great ape jerkies that they have behind the counter.
The secret ape jerky.
And panda jerky. They've got some dope panda jerky.
And they have human jerky, the forbidden jerky.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you don't look at the ingredients of the gorilla jerky if you don't want to eat human. And if you want to really enjoy your gorilla jerky, do not look at the label.
It's mostly
of its
baby hearts. Human baby hearts.
My last question, this is one of my pet themes. Is it going to be Bruce Springsteen or Bob Dylan?
Is it going to be?
That's the choice. And again, this could be...
like a night in the town?
Right, sure. Have a beer with. Plot the murder of their spouse with.
Choreograph like, a
is one of them hiring you to kill their wife? You know, that maybe that's the choice.
I always picture Bruce Springsteen as like jogging in place or just like sweating, just like... And I picture... Bob Dylan is the opposite of that, as just kind of...
As like a crisp, dry leaf.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
One of the driest people I've ever seen.
And
it's the pile of dust.
Yeah, I don't know what I would say to either of them. Like, I certainly have a lot of respect for both, but they both just seem like a caricature of themselves to me.
What if you had to share a twin bed for a weekend trip with one of them? Is it Bruce or is it...
Well,
old Bob Dylan.
I'll take the dust.
I'll take dust over sweat. Anytime.
Definitely. Yeah. You have to spoon with them. You're definitely going to be spooning with them.
With Robert Zimmerman.
Mm-hmm. What if I also throw Tom Petty into the mix as an option? Does that change your answer?
It still doesn't.
Your spoon. He's the one I want to spoon with.
Well, he's the one
actually.
Who I would spoon murder.
I feel like he'd be breathing really heavy on my neck.
He'd just be rubbing
if
the
I
back
was the little spoon,
with, like his chin, like his scraggly.
Tom Petty
there.
Would just, you don't know how it feels. Just,
I'm
just
show you how
saying
it feels.
That over and over.
Now you do.
Just playing a 3-note harmonica solo deep into my ear.
This is Tom Petty. I'm gonna show you how it feels to be me. That's what he's gonna say to you.
You'll be running down a dream in moments. Yeah.
The dream is his wiener.
I don't know which Tom Petty that song is.
Oh, shit.
Well, Aaron, from Poop Ship, thank you so much for being on the show and teaching me a lot about...
Yeah, thanks, man.
Teaching me and I think a lot of our listeners about Ween. Really appreciate you being on tonight.
Thanks a lot, guys. It was really fun coming here tonight. And
we're going to have you back. I've got... It's like we could probably do this for a couple more hours. But your band is playing the evening before Thanksgiving. That's, I think, November 23rd?
Yep. The 6th annual Thanksgiving Brownout. Yeah. It's going to be the best thing we sort of remember Yeah.
And where does that take place? Just to remind our listeners.
At the Eagle Eye Tavern at 92nd and Foster. It's totally free. We're going right on at 9 sharp. So
nice.
Be there. And yes. With our good friends, Brown Herb. Shout out to y'all. And
that name is great.
It's the best. It's the best band to follow us. They make new 90s music. Like, oh yeah. I mean, but
speaking my language, that's what the world needs is new 90s music.
Well, you would love Finally. Brown Herb.
Awesome. Awesome.
But thanks so much, guys.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. And thank you all for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We really appreciate you joining us. You can find this episode and others like it every Thursday.
Unless Donald Trump shuts us down on Tuesday.
Yeah. We're recording the day before the election. And I hope that we're still allowed to do this. I hope that he hasn't come for us.
Take away all the rights.
Right.
First Amendment is first. So.
Yeah. So if you're hearing this, hopefully civilization has continued on, and you should continue to download this episode primarily on iTunes. It's the easiest way. And it also really helps if you're there and you like what you hear to leave us a rating or some comments. That is always appreciated. You can also reach out to us directly at hotgarbagepodcast@gmail.com. That's HAUTE garbagepodcast@gmail.com.
And check out Hurt Garbage if you want to see pictures on Instagram of beef jerky ingredients.
Andy, what are you going to play us out on this evening?
I'm going to play you... I've been listening to a lot of Ween this week, getting ready for this show.
Yeah.
Like hours of Ween. And I always
My
come
Ween
back
journey is only just beginning.
To this amazing instrumental off of Chocolate and Cheese called A Tear for Eddie. It's all about Eddie Hazel, guitar player from Funkadelic. And he died like right around the time when this album came out, like maybe a couple years earlier, somewhere around there. But the song is it's just a very awesome instrumental song. So check this out.
Excellent. For Aaron, for Nate, for Andy, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
The Wombat exhibit at the Melbourne Zoo. At least I would.